Welcome to The Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning entertainment podcast with a new episode available each week at thehollywoodoutsider.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. My name is Aaron Peterson. I will be your host for this special episode of The Hollywood Outsider. As our loyal listeners know, every once in a while we like to bring you interviews with filmmakers to give you an insight into what goes into getting their projects made, as well as insight into the respective art itself. For this episode, I am talking to the director of the new film, Dark River, which arrives in theaters June 29th. Now, if you haven't heard of this, Dark River stars Ruth Wilson as Alice. Now, Alice left her home 15 years ago, forging a living now, currently, as a sheep shearer by contract. When she receives news that her father, played by Sean Bean in flashbacks, has passed away, she returns home to North Yorkshire to claim the land from her brother Joe, played by Mark Stanley. Now, Joe, he's obviously not too keen on handing over the land that he believes he's deserved because he stayed with their father. He feels like he's owed this land. We come to find out that Alice's father sexually abused her, and as the film unfolds, we learn more and more about the psychological scars that abuse has left for everybody involved. It's not a happy film. It's not a joyful film. But what I do feel it is a film that intelligently deconstructs how abuse affects everyone in a family. When there is sexual abuse or abuse of any kind in a family, and you have one person who's abused and one person who maybe shelters the abuser, there are a lot of ramifications for that. It is a hard film to watch. I think it's an important film to watch because it really presents aspects of abuse that I don't think is covered very well in many films. And Clio Barnard is doing a great job of delivering that. So for this interview, I am speaking with director Clio Barnard. And I am talking to her about getting Dark River made, how she prepared her actors for such a very dour tale, and why this story was an important one to tell. And also, Sean Bean dying in every movie, that comes up. So I think you're going to enjoy this. She's a wonderful person to talk to. Her film is a very powerful character piece that I think people should check out when she can find it, which will be June 29th in theaters. So be sure to catch Dark River when it releases June 29th. Let's just get into my interview with director Clio Barnard. Hi, Clio.
Hi, Aaron.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I'm pretty excited to talk to you. This is a really happy movie.
Yeah, very, very cheerful.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very
a lot of laughs, lots of dancing and singing, and yeah, that's the next one.
Is it? Okay. Well, the question I always start off with before we get into Dark River is I always want to know, how did you know you wanted to be a filmmaker? Was there a specific moment in your life, or when did you know?
That's a good question. It's going to sound pretentious, but it's true. I was at art school, and I went to see a Tarkovsky film, which was Andrei Rublev, and I thought, wow, this medium, you can work with sound, you can work with image, you can work with movement, you can, I was really struck by what an incredible medium it was. And you know, I guess at that time I just started working with film, shooting on a Bolex, and loving the material. So yeah, that was the moment.
Well, that's very cool. Dark River, before we get into the weightier issues, there's been a running joke in Hollywood for years that Sean Bean dies in every movie. So I guess you decided, let's just get a head start on this one, kill him off before we start.
Yep. And I think in a funny way, it's kind of a rape revenge movie in a way, but that she can't get to the person she needs to get revenge on because he's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So in a way, the guy who does end up dead is a sort of Sean Bean stand-in. So perhaps, yeah, it's a twist on the Sean Bean death.
Poor guy can't catch a break.
Pattern, yeah.
Well, I had to start with something light because it is a very dark film, no pun intended. So was it difficult to convince Sean to take on this role? Because he's a very well-known actor, and it's a very bleak role.
It wasn't. He was actually the first person who was attached, and he was, the script went through some different iterations, different stages, and he stayed it the whole time. So no, he was very committed, and he was just lovely to work with. He's such a he's a brilliant actor and a, just a wonderful man, lovely man. So it wasn't a case of persuading him.
Well, your entire cast is just commendable all the way around. I mean, he's got very limited screen time, but he delivers quite a punch. And then Ruth and Mark, they're all phenomenal. What was your inspiration for Dark River to write it to begin with?
It actually came from a novel by Rose Cremain called Trespass. Mm-hmm. And it's about siblings who are kind of locked into a bitter dispute, and they have a history of sexual abuse within the family, and they're unable to communicate with each other. And in a way, the trauma in him, in a way, manifests in him being very chaotic and drinking too much. And in her, it's very internal. So in a way, that's those two characters. In the book, there's another set of adult siblings, actually, but I was very interested in their relationship, and in a way, in Joe and him carrying this guilt and confusion, the guilt that doesn't really belong to him. And the kind of portrait in the way of the damage that's done internally to when something unspeakable remains unspoken. And that was really what I wanted to explore.
I'm glad you brought that up, because your film showcases the psychological scars that remain after abuse, not just for the abused, but like you said, the bystanders, the people that were affected indirectly. Was there any specific research that you incorporated into the script, especially in terms of like victims haunted by their abuser or anything along those lines?
I was doing this fellowship at the time at the Wellcome Trust, and they put me in touch with psychologists and scientists who were specifically dealing with trauma and memory and dissociation and intrusive memories. I was speaking to people about that, and I suppose, yes, you're right. In a way, part of what I was really wanted to try and express in a way was how it damages the intimate relationships of that person, but also the people around that person who's abused. Yeah, which was, you know, difficult.
It's very difficult. I think you handled it very intelligently in the film, because they don't sit around and talk about it for 6 hours. I mean, it's a lot of it is how people would normally react, I think, in those situations. So it feels very genuine in that respect.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that. Yeah. It's quite a challenge to make a film about two people who can't speak to each other, you know?
Right.
So everything is in subtext. And it's hard to kind of access what's going on for them internally, if you see what I mean. But in a way, that was the big challenge of the film, is how do you communicate to an audience what's going on for two people who can't speak openly to each other. So in the script, I tried to put as little dialogue in as possible. And in the edit, actually, we took more away, partly because Ruth and Mark's performances were so strong.
Yeah, I'd say. So let's talk about their performances. Let's start with Ruth Wilson's Alice. As a director, how do you prepare your actors for a part that requires them to essentially hallucinate, spend most of their screen time in emotional despair? I mean, it's a very difficult role to pull off.
Yeah, and I mean, it was very intense. And, you know, on set, it was very intense. And we did need some kind of light relief offset, you know. It was kind of, Ruth and Mark actually got on absolutely brilliantly. And so I'm veering off now, not answering your question, but
no, it's okay.
I mean, one of the sort of joys of this film for me was that in my previous film, I had two child actors I loved working with them. And part of what was new about Dark River for me was working with two very experienced adult actors, you know, who could take what I'd written and take those two characters and do things with them that I hadn't necessarily expected. And both of them were kind of doing preparatory work that I didn't necessarily know was going on, you know. So Mark told, I think Mark was shouting into a pillow for 24 hours in order to get his voice the way his voice was.
Oh, wow.
Because he's actually quite a lot younger than the character that he's playing. And he was making sort of biographical decisions that, like, Joe, the night that Richard, the night his father died, he got in his lorry and he drove till the petrol ran out. And Ruth told me that in one of her training sessions, because she did lots of training, so you could believe that she'd been shearing sheep, you know, for most of her adult life, all of her adult life. She met a sheepdog while she was doing her training and partly based Alice on the dog, because the dog was very focused when it was working and very kind of functional and happy and brilliant and well, focused rather than happy. But as soon as the dog stopped working, it was very frightened and wary. So she thought that dog had probably been traumatized and used work and the focus that working gave it to kind of escape that fear in a way.
Well, you do a very cool visual aesthetic here where you have a younger Alice in moments, and you have where she's going into rooms and she's reliving parts of her childhood and it's happening at the same time. Was that very difficult to shoot those aspects? Did you have to have both actors there at the same time? And how did you do that?
Yeah, we had both actors there at the same time. And I storyboarded it quite carefully. And we were kind of, you know, swapping one actress in, you know, Esme in for Ruth and vice versa. The thing that became really clear when we started cutting was that actually the less of the past there was, the more powerful it was. So there was more, and we pulled it back and pulled it back. That was one of the things through the process of the edit was to keep taking those back, so they were kind of more and more fragmentary. So is that a word? Yeah.
Sure.
Fragmented.
Because obviously Ruth is putting herself through hell. Sometimes I wonder, for a director, is it difficult for you to maintain your composure when you see your actor just being devastated in front of you? Is that make the situation more difficult to film, or not really? You just treat it like a professional?
There were moments with Ruth where both of us kind of had to have a really big cry, to be honest. You know, like, yeah, there were moments. And then there were other moments that were incredibly intense where I was, you know, sort of between us getting to a point where she could feel the intensity that she needed to feel when she pulls trigger, for example. You know, that's, and then with Esme, that was also, that was complicated because she's, you know, because she's a teenager. And yeah, you know, you feel in a way, but I guess my job there is to listen to her and take care of her. And listen to her when she's saying to me, I can do it, as you know, and accepting that when she's saying, I can do it, if you see what I mean. Because quite often the impulse is to go, don't do it if it's upsetting you, you know, mm-hmm. Let's stop. But actually she was saying that, you know, I think you have to respect the actor's wish to do it, if you see what I mean. Yeah.
And Mark Stanley's Joe, he's got a very traumatic story to tell as well. Was it important when you're writing the script? And I know it's based on a book, but you take some leap from the book and you kind of do it your own way. So was it important for you to show the damage done for the other members of the family in order for this story to work?
Definitely, yeah. Yeah, and I mean, in some ways, I almost think he's more damaged than she is, because I think he just doesn't understand. He's completely confounded by it. And he's carried a lot of guilt and that really doesn't belong to him. So yeah, it was very important to me that he was as psychologically complex as she was, and that you had empathy for him and you understood that he was a victim of what the father's sexual, he was a victim too.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, performances were strong all the way around, just across the board. The other thing that stuck out to me was the locations. The locations were beautifully ingrained into the storytelling, and at times I felt like the landscape was like another character in the tale. Was that an intentional direction on your end, or just a happy coincidence?
That was intentional because I think you have to understand why she would go back, and it's, you know, she has a relationship with the place and with the land, as much as she has a relationship with her brother, you know, so and with the house. So yeah, that was really important to me, and quite difficult to know how to create that on film so that you don't feel like you're distanced from the landscape, but you feel the connection to it, that her connection to it, but also I hope in some ways the audience feel connected to it.
Was it more difficult to handle directing actors going through all of this or herding sheep? I'm really kind of curious.
Well, actually, it's a good, very good question, because herding sheep was a nightmare. Yeah, and actually, you know, working with the actors was such a pleasure, actually. And working with the sheep was really difficult, because they just, you know, they really don't want to go where you want them to go. And with the last film, I was dealing with horses, and they were amazing. It was a pleasure having them on the set, but yeah, with sheep, never again. Yeah.
There were moments that looked like drunk children just running around the farm, so it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
So why was it so important for you to tell this particular story, and what do you hope people take away from it?
I hope that people understand, in a way, that somebody who has been through an experience like that carries an enormous amount around with them that they can't really tell people, as in, you know, in everyday encounters, I suppose, and how damaging silence is. And I think both Alice and Joe are, you know, heroes or heroines because of what they're carrying. And I suppose, in a way, there has been this awareness, which is brilliant, about sexual abuse, and there's been conversations happening about sexual abuse, and, you know, it's kind of about time. Mm-hmm. And I'm really glad that that's happening. I think one of the things that hasn't been talked about is sexual abuse within the family, and it's, you know, the statistics are something like 50% of 50% is within the family. 50% of sexual abuse of children are within the family, and I think it's very difficult to speak about, partly because love is part of the mix, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely do. So last question I got, and before I let you go, what's next for you? What's next for Clio?
Well, I'm just beginning to work on the next thing. Don't hold me to this, but I think I hope it's going to be funny, or at least have some laughs in it. So, I'm beginning work on that. I think it's going to be a love story.
Aww. That'll be fun. You probably need to give yourself a little bit of a reprieve.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming by, and I wish you the best of luck on the release. I'm looking forward to people seeing it.
Thank you, and thanks for your really thoughtful questions. I really appreciate it. I'm watching it so carefully. Wow. Thank you.
Take care.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, guys, that was my interview with director Clio Bernard. Dark River is a very thought-provoking piece that tries to take you into the psychologically traumatized mind of a woman forced to face her past. And like I said, it's a very difficult watch, but I think it's worth it. It's in theaters June 29th, so don't miss it, Dark River. Once again, thank you for listening to the Hollywood Outsider podcast. We try to bring you these interviews with filmmakers in the world of independent cinema when we can. So I really hope you enjoyed this one. And I do hope you enjoy the film. Please let me know what you think of the movie once you see it. Remember to subscribe and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, your podcast app of choice, and our normal show has a new episode every single week and is available at thehollywoodoutsider.com. Once again, this is Aaron Peterson reminding you, the next time you head into the theater to see Dark River, buy popcorn.